Swami Prabhupada. And on this day, it is worthwhile to remember, speak about and glorify Srila Rupa Goswami. He was one of the great generals in spreading the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He actually appeared within this material world, a spiritual personality from the spiritual world, from Goloka Vrindavan, to assist Mahaprabhu. Who knows something about Srila Rupa Goswami? He was a minister in the Nawab Hussain Shah, his court in Ramakeli, which is in Bengal on the bank of the Ganga. And he and his elder brother Sanatan and younger brother Balava, who later became Anupam, and later he left this world just when, more or less, when Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, when they went to Vrindavan. Just right after that, he left this world. So the two brothers themselves were extremely important devotees, and they were practically the prime minister of the king and the treasurer of the king of Bengal, Nawab Hussain Shah. And they were running the government on his behalf. It was said that one time prior to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami joining the government force, the king's guru, who had the ability to see the future, said, if you get these two, there are two young Brahmin men in this village in Ramakeli, and if they join your governmental service, they will ensure that everything is successful. So they were brilliant, they were intelligent, they were practical, and they were deeply spiritually inclined. Again, both of these personalities, Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan, they came from the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. What were their names in the spiritual world? Rupa Manjari, Sri Rupa Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami, Lavanga Manjari. And what is a Manjari? We use this term to describe very, very special associates of C.C. Radha Krishna Goloka Vrindavan. They are very young assistants, and they make all the arrangements, the intimate arrangements and the pastimes and the meeting and the different pastimes between Radha and Krishna. They're the most intimate servants of C.C. Radha and Krishna, and accompanying Mahaprabhu, who is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. He is a combination of his Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So when he came, so many of his associates from the spiritual world, from Goloka Vrindavan, so many of the assistants, eternal associates in those pastimes, came to this world to assist, just like if one is doing very confidential work, naturally one wants with him one's most trusted friends. It's just natural, because they are trustworthy, they have particular abilities. So Rupa Goswami is one of those most trusted associates of Srimati Radharani from the spiritual world. And while he was performing his young pastimes, his youthful pastimes in the village of Ramakeli, which is mostly a village of Brahmins, and that was the capital of Godadesh, of the kingdom of Nawab Hussain Shah. And the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, they sent a letter. They heard that Mahaprabhu had begun the Sankirtan movement. And they immediately sent a letter to him, expressing their desire to have his association, to have his darshan, and to even join the Sankirtan movement. They wanted to participate in the pastimes and the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he spread the Sankirtan movement. So they wrote him a letter, and even before that time, they were fully immersed in Ramakeli. They were fully immersed in the mood of full, even though they were externally performing governmental activities and very responsible government activities, internally, within their consciousness, within their minds, they were fully absorbed in Krishna Leela, thinking about Krishna. They had set up places in Ramakeli because they had their ministerial powers, so they could use their influence and the opportunities they had to deal with wealth. So they set up a Radhakund there, a Shamakund there. They would engage in their bhajan. They would engage in chanting Krishna's names. This was even before they met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is said that that Rupa Goswami even wrote, before meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when his name was, the two brothers were, they were called Dabyakash and Shakar Malik. And Rupa Goswami, that personality at that time, he had written one of the most intimate, well-known and sweetest of his literary compositions, which is known as the Hansadutta. So Rupa Goswami was an incredibly exalted personality, and he was glorified by a prayer by Narottama Das Thakur from Prem Bhakti Chandrika. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Saapanandikam, which means that Rupa Goswami, who again was Rupa Mandari, had such an intimate association with Mahaprabhu that he, Manovistam, means he knew the heart's desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was fully tadatma. He was fully in touch, none different from the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's what his mission was, to manifest that heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world, the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He knew that. He was tadatmika. He knew that completely. And he did that. But before we get to his activities, we'll discuss how, we'll read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which describes how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one time, when he was, after he had taken sannyas, he was in Jagannath Puri, and then he decided to go to Vrindavan. But actually, he left Jagannath Puri to go to Vrindavan, but he had a different plan, and he never actually went to Vrindavan during this visit, this leaving Jagannath Puri. Instead, he went to Ramakeli, and there he just stayed and began chanting and dancing, and everyone became ecstatic by his association in Ramakeli. And the real reason he had gone there, which in fact was a most dangerous place, because the Nawab Hussain Shah was very fanatical in his warlike activities, and practically speaking, one couldn't practice anything connected with the Hindu Dharma, anything connected with the non-Muslim religiosity. But Mahaprabhu, completely in the open, he would chant and dance, and he would get everyone performing kirtan. And the king, somehow or another, by the grace of the Chaitya Guru, the Lord in the heart, he understood that this was no ordinary person, and he decided to leave him alone. He understood that he was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But yet, So while he was there in Ramakeli, Rupa and Sanatan decided to approach him. So we'll read the exchange because it's very telling. Dabyakash and his brother, Dabyakash, I believe is Sanatan Goswami, they decided after much consideration to go see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu incognito. What does incognito mean? Secretly, in disguise, specifically. They didn't want to attract any attention to him. Thus, in the dead of the night, the two brothers, Dabyakash and Shakya Malik, went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First, they met Nityananda Prabhu, and Haridas Thakur. Mahaprabhu was there with several of his associates. Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that two persons, Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan, had come to see him. In great humility, both brothers took some straw between their teeth, and each binding a cloth around their neck as a gesture of humility. They went in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they fell down like rods upon the ground. And upon seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the two brothers were overwhelmed with joy. And out of humility, tears began to come from their eyes, fall from their eyes. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked them to get up, and he assured them of all good fortune. The two brothers got up, and again, taking straw between their teeth, they humbly offered their prayers with folded hands, like an animal, like a cow or a goat, takes straw, or even a kangaroo, takes straw and grass in its mouth. So they're indicating, we are so fallen, we actually have very high births in a Saraswata Brahmin community, very exalted births, but we've adopted the service, the employment, the customs of the Mohammedans, which are not respected. I once heard Prabhupada say why that the Muslims or the Mohammedans were not very much respected in India. And you know what? Why? They are very, very religious, certainly. Everyone knows that. Very serious about their religion when they're serious. But why weren't they respected? And Prabhupada said, because they were not clean. They didn't have the same concept of cleanliness. Wait, this we don't want. I'm just telling you what Prabhupada said. They were not considered very high class. And by adopting the customs and the employment, Rupa and Sanatan were practically removed from the society of the pious Varnashrama culture because of this. So they went to Mahaprabhu disguised, and Mahaprabhu said that, don't worry, all good fortune will be yours. And they, keeping straw between their mouths, were saying, we are like animals. We're engaged in this type of work. This king, Nawab Hussain Shah, they didn't express this, but it was known. He would travel all over the country and breaking temples and breaking deities. He would fight with. He was going to Orissa to even take over Jagannath Puri. So they were saying, we are like animals. And they said to Mahaprabhu, and that's what they were expressing by their gestures. So then they said to him, Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Daya Maya. What does dayamaya mean? You're full of mercy, full of daya. Patita pavana jai, jaya mahasaya. Mahārāja means great personality. All glories to you because you uplift and save fallen souls. Sir, they said. And remember, these were practically the prime minister and the treasurer of the whole kingdom. Sir, we belong to the lowest class of men, and our associates and employment are of the lowest type. Therefore, we cannot introduce ourselves to you. We feel very much ashamed standing here before you. So we're already getting a glimpse of the nature of these two personalities, these personages. They were exalted, but they felt themselves. They were most exalted, and they felt themselves as the most fallen. My dear Lord, let us inform you that no one is more sinful than us. What is the attitude that we tend to carry around with us? My dear friends, I want to inform you that no one is more exalted than me. Mm-hmm. And you should recognize this. This is the very nature of false ego. To inflict that type of mood upon the soul, pride. And pride, the removal of pride, as Raghunath Das Goswami says, and every true transcendentalist says, this removal of pride is essential to make progress in spiritual life. So these persons knew their position. They were introspective. They knew that they were fallen souls. They weren't at all, but this was the part they were playing. This is the mood to approach a spiritual authority with, to evoke mercy. You are Patita Pavana. You are the deliverer of the most fallen. Because as water naturally flows down to the lowest point, so similarly, mercy flows downward. If one thinks one is very exalted, clearly one is unable to get mercy. One is simply, one has the ability, if one is exalted and very talented and very wonderful, one has the ability to take care of oneself. One really, in fact, doesn't need anyone else. But one, like a child who feels himself incapable, he attracts the affection of the superiors. Or another way to look at it, changing the metaphor, the negative pole of the magnet attracts the positive. So this was their moods. Dear Lord, they said, you have incarnated to deliver the fallen souls. You should consider that in this world there is none as fallen as us. You have delivered the two brothers Jagai and Madhai, but to deliver them you did not have to exert yourself very much. The brothers Jagai and Madhai belonged to the Brahmin caste, and their residence was in the holy place of Navadvip. They never served low-class persons, nor were they instruments to abominable activities, because even the Nawab Hussein Shah, when Sanatana Goswami wanted to retire from the government service, Nawab Hussein Shah was furious, because as he would go to war and fight, and he actually wanted to fight with Prataparudra Maharaj. He was going down southward to fight with the king of Orissa, the protector of Lord Jagannath. And when you're fighting, the state nevertheless has to be managed. Taxes have to be collected, this has to happen, that has to happen. So he was relying on Sanatana Goswami to do all of that as he would fight. He was the warrior, the ferocious warrior. So Sanatana Goswami is saying that Jagai and Madhai, who who you saved, that was nothing compared, because they were very low and fallen, but we, compared to us, they were exalted. Because look what we've done. We have been instruments to abominable activities, irreligious activities, the breaking of temples, the defiling of Brahminical culture. I continue. Jagai and Madhai had but one fault. What was that fault? They were addicted to sinful activities. However, volumes of sinful activities can be burnt to ashes by a dim reflection of the chanting of your holy name. What is the dim reflection? The Sanskrit word for the dim reflection of the chanting of the holy name?
No.
Namavas. Avas means a reflection. So the holy names of Krishna are so powerful. Nama Vasya Hoitehai Sava Papachai. Liberation comes if one chants the holy names. Namabas means without offense, but with no love. The actual result of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra fully, the actual result that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is capable of bestowing upon a living entity is prem, is love, premanam. If one chants with love of Krishna, because the holy name of Krishna and Krishna are exactly the same, the result of that is prem. But just by chanting without offense, unlimited sinful reactions that we have carried birth after birth after birth, accumulated from all inappropriate activities, destroyed by one chanting of the holy name. This has been proved by the pastime in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam of who? I heard it somewhere over there. Ajamil, yes. So they, Jagai and Madhai, had but one fault. They had committed sinful activities. But compared to us, we have done far worse things. Jagai and Madhai uttered your holy name by way of blaspheming you and criticizing. Fortunately, that holy name became the cause of their deliverance. We too are millions and millions of times inferior to Jagai and Madhai. We are more degraded, fallen, and sinful than they. Actually, we belong to the caste of meat-eaters because we are servants of meat-eaters. Our activities are exactly like those of the meat-eaters, the mlecha. Because we always associate with such people, we are inimical towards the cows and Brahmins. The two brothers, Shakar Malik and Dabir Kash, very humbly submitted that due to their abominable activities, they were now bound by the neck and hands and had been thrown into a ditch filled with abominable stool-like objects of material sense enjoyment. This whole world is running after objects of the senses as if what is the object of the sense the sense, this, the ear, that sense? What is the sense object? Sound, yes. And every sense has its object. And we, trapped in the material world, controlled by materialistic and sinful desires, we consider that the combining of the senses with their sense objects, seeing something, the eyes want to see something beautiful, the ears want to hear something sweet, the tongue wants to taste, the sense of touch wants to touch something, and the nose wants fragrance, is running after fragrance, or we want to be bombarded with sense objects, thinking this will bring some pleasure to me. And these type of desires are not the result of piety. It is the result of sin, in fact, because these type of activities bind us to the material world. They entrap us further, increase our desires. They don't increase our satisfaction. It increases our materialistic desires and entangle us further. The more we try to enjoy the senses, our senses, and combine the senses with the sense objects, the more frustrated, angry, disturbed, greedy, lusty, etc. we become. So therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yehi samsparja bhoga, that the combination of the senses and the sense objects, dukkha yonaya evate. What does dukkha mean? Yona, this is the source of misery, certainly. Evate, this is the source of misery. Entanglement, and ultimately, as we know, that in entanglement and attachment in the material world, they cause us to full attachment to the body, because the body is the vehicle by which the senses enjoy through. So much attachment to the body, and one, what happens to one if one is attached to that which one must necessarily lose? If you're attached to something and you lose it, what happens? Did you ever lose your wallet? Your computer? Your car? You ever have your car stolen? What happens? Huh? So much suffering, so much when the mind becomes so disturbed, you can't believe this is happening. This can't happen to me. I'm so disturbed. We want it and it's ripped from our grip. So if something little we lose is like that due to our attachment, just imagine what the time of death is going to cause to this mind whose business is to hold on. It holds on, but it's ripped. The body is, well, we could say the other way around, that the soul is ripped from the body and leaves, forcibly evicted by the ultimate big brother. Forcibly evicted. Soul kicked out of the body. It becomes useless. And the mind fills with terror. Actually, that's what happens. It's holding on. It's holding on. Because no one likes to be forced into a situation out of one's control. That's why in this world, that's why there is a compulsive attraction to money. For this reason, because money awards one the ability in one in the conditioned soul. Because money means power. We say Lakshmi. Lakshmi is Krishna's Shakti. Shakti means power. Power is required to control. If we don't have money, we fear that everything is going to get out of my control. And that's just what we don't want. And that's just what's going to happen, whether we want it or not. That is the cause of the compulsive addiction to accumulating money. It is fear. Fear of things getting out of control. And how much money does it take before we feel secure? Don't worry that things aren't going to get out of control. You can tell me, I don't know. It's unlimited. Even if we have that, we'll be afraid. The problem, of course, is we're in the wrong place, and everything is wrong when you're in the wrong place. It can't go right here. So, as a result of combining of samsparja bhoga, dukkha yona evite. It's a result of combining the senses and the sense object. So suffering comes, attachment comes. And again, if we're attached to something that we are doomed to lose, so much misery comes because we can't control this material world. And that's what we're trying to do. Or at least my little corner of the material world. And my little corner of the material world is an expansion of this. That corner I want to control. And it is actually just laying the groundwork for suffering. It is like trying to build your house in the shifting sands of the ocean. Your little toy house, little sand castle. Can't work. So Rupa and Sanatana are approaching Mahaprabhu saying that look what our mentality is. We're so entangled in this type of thinking. We've given up our Brahminical culture, which is meant to elevate one. And I also heard, I've never seen it written anywhere, but the reason why Rupa and Sanatana accepted the position was because the Nawab threatened that if you don't take up this service, we're going to kill so many of the Brahmins. So they accepted it. But still their mood is humble. Everyone has their excuse, right? You know, when we do something wrong, we're always thinking, well, here's the reason why I did it. Actually, I'm not at fault at all. But here's the reason. How else could anyone have acted to do this wrong thing? I've cheated. I've stolen. There's that famous little anecdote about these two children had a father and mother that were both alcoholics. One turned out to be just a penniless beggar on the street, and the other turned out to be a famous doctor, successful doctor. And they asked the one on the street, "How did you become like this?" His reply was, "With parents like this, how else could I become?" And they asked the successful doctor, "How did you become like this?" He said, "With parents like that, how else could I become?" But we feel we're innocent victims. We never do anything wrong. But look at the attitude of Rupa and Sanatana. No one within the three worlds is sufficiently powerful to deliver us. You are the only savior of the fallen souls, O Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, there is no one but you. If you simply deliver us by your transcendental strength, because when someone is deep in a well or a ditch, a weak person cannot pull them out. Someone very strong is required. So no one is sufficiently powerful to deliver us. You are the only savior of the fallen souls. Therefore, there is no one but you. If you simply deliver us by your transcendental strength, then certainly your name will be known as the savior of the fallen souls. Narottama Das Thakur also, he wrote and said, there is one name that I wish you to be known by. It is Narottam Pavan. You save me. This will be the greatest exhibition of your mercy, because I have no qualifications. I can't even, sometimes if someone puts their hand down in the well to pull someone out, they have to say, hold on tightly. And if you don't hold on tightly, you're going to fall. But someone like a little child doesn't even have that strength to hold on tightly. Nothing can rest on my ability, O Lord. If one has that kind of humility, and if one chants Krishna's names in that mood, that is Trinada Pisini Chena Toroda Pisina Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadhari. And that will attract Krishna's mercy. When there is need necessity. There's an English saying, necessity is the mother of invention. When there is necessity, Krishna will come. When there is sincerity, Krishna will be there. And that, of course, is the great lack, at least I can say. Quite satisfied here, floating around in the material world. Thanks, yes. I'll become an official religionist. But Rupa and Sanatana were not in that mood. They continue. Let us speak one word that is very true. Plainly hear us, O merciful one. There is no other object of mercy within the three worlds but us. We are the most fallen. Therefore, by showing us your mercy is most successful. Let the power of your mercy be exhibited throughout the entire universe. Let us submit one piece of information before you. It is not at all false, but it is full of meaning. It is this. If you are not merciful to us, then it will be very, very difficult to find a more suitable candidate for your mercy. We are very depressed at being unfit candidates for your mercy. Yet since we have heard of your transcendental qualities, we are very much attracted to you. Indeed, we are like a dwarf who wants to catch the moon. Although we are completely unfit, a desire to receive your mercy is awakening within our minds. If we want to become Krishna conscious, we have to be deeply, fully in this mood, and therefore Prabhupada, in practically his first translation of the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and the first instruction on how to chant practically, he said, chant like a baby crying for mother. When the baby wants the mother, a very, very tiny baby wants the mother, there is such a power in that cry, either from pain or hunger. They have no ability to do anything unless their mother comes. They cannot move, they cannot turn over. All they can do is cry. They cannot hold anything, practically. All they can do is cry. And that type of cry has so much power that when there's a baby crying in that way, no one else in the entire room can do anything. Their minds are pulled over there. And that is how Prabhupada said to chant Krishna's holy names, like a baby crying for mother with that type of intensity. A desire to receive your mercy is an awakening within our minds. That awakens when one has two incompatible things going on in one's consciousness. One wants the moon, something wonderful, and one has no capacity. Great humility. Intense desire, tattaraloyam abhimulam ekalam. Intense desire and negative capacity. Conception of oneself with negative capacity. By serving you constantly, they continue, one is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified. When shall I engage as your permanent eternal servant and always feel joyful to have such a fitting master? It's a verse from Jamunacharya's Stotra Ratna. After hearing the prayer of W. Kash and Shakir Malik, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear W. Kash, you two brothers are my old servants. My dear Shaka Malik, from this day your names will be changed to Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan. Now please abandon your humility, for my heart is breaking to see you so humble." You have written several letters showing your humility. I can understand your behavior from those letters. By your letters I can understand your heart. Therefore, in order to teach you, I sent you one verse which reads as follows. Para vyasininari vyagrappi griha karmasu tad eva asvadayatyanta navasanga rasayanam. If a woman is attached to a man other than her husband, she will appear very busy in carrying out her household affairs, but within her heart she is always relishing feelings of association with her paramour. So this is the verse that's meant for those who are forced by circumstances to work and act within the material world. There is a warning and a blessing. The warning is, don't become attached and entangled. And where, if one becomes attached, one will become entangled. And if one becomes entangled, what happens to a fish who's entangled within a web, a net? What happens to a bug who's entangled in a web? Death, that's what happens. Doom. Don't become attached, because if one becomes attached, one becomes entangled. And what causes attachment to the objects of the senses? The desire to enjoy. And what causes the desire to enjoy in the material world? One can say that this is why we're here in the material world, to express these unfortunate desires. Or one can say, Rajaguno Samubhava, born of the mode of passion. The result of the mode of passion is desire, increasing desire, ever increasing desires. Avoid the mode of passion and increase one's desires on the other side, on the spiritual side. Because what happens if one, what is the result? The mode of goodness results in satisfaction, the mode of passion results in desiring, and the mode of ignorance results in deeper ignorance. And these are always shifting between one and another. And passion causes ignorance, and even goodness, this is the nature of the insidious nature of the material world, even goodness is so entangling, because if you have a good situation and you're satisfied in that good situation, what happens? You become attached to it, and attachment is passion. So we're really meant to only have one attachment in this world, and that attachment in this world is not in this world. It is to the lotus feet of Krishna. So that's the paramour in the example. You work as according to your duty is, but don't become attached. Don't become entangled. Don't try to enjoy. Mahaprabhu continues, I really had no business in coming to Bengal, but I have come just to see you two brothers. Mahaprabhu was heading towards Vrindavan. Everyone is asking why I have come to this village of Ramakeli. No one knows my intentions. It is very good that you two brothers have come to see me. Now you can go home. They came to see him, they submitted to him completely, begged him for his mercy, and Mahaprabhu said, now you can go home. Do not fear anything. But when Mahaprabhu says, do not fear anything, you can go home, there is nothing to fear, because he's accepted you as his own servant. Birth after birth, he says, you have been my eternal servants. I'm sure that Krishna will deliver you very soon. That's why there's no fear. The Lord then placed his two hands on the heads of both of them, and in return they immediately placed the lotus feet of the Lord on their heads. He placed their hands, they went for his lotus feet. After this, the Lord embraced both of them and requested all of the devotees present to be merciful upon them and deliver them. When all the devotees saw the mercy of the Lord upon the two brothers, they were very gladdened, and they began to chant the holy name of the Lord, Hari, Hari, Hari. Instead of, why didn't he do that to me? Why didn't I get what I was... No envy. Mahaprabhu will eat. If we have time, we'll read also some other part where Mahaprabhu specifically glorified the transcendental writing of Rupa Goswami in front of Ramananda Roy, who was also a great author. He glorified the writing of Rupa Goswami in front of Ramananda Roy to see what Ramananda Roy's reaction would be. To see whether he'd say, well, this, yes, it's okay, but this problem and this problem, he forgot to put a dot over the I and forgot to cross his T, and this word isn't exactly right, he could have done. No. Ramananda Roy was so ecstatic to hear the glorification and to hear the writing of Rupa Goswami. Because when envy is in the heart, there is no... That means we wish others harm, and that is not pleasing to Krishna. We should wish, desire the welfare of everyone. And we can only be in the mood when we're desiring good. Hita karano, that's the mood of the Goswamis. Hita karano, mercifully desiring good for everyone. We can only be in that mood, that giving mood, when our own cup is overflowing. So there is no contradiction between spiritually wanting to advance and spiritually wanting to help others. In fact, they necessarily go together. If we don't advance ourselves and we see others advancing, we will become envious. Because we will feel, oh, I'm lacking so much. So it behooves everyone. First responsibility is to survive and flourish. How charitable can we be if we're poverty stricken? What can we give anyone else? So all the Vaishnavas, seeing how Mahaprabhu was merciful, they said, Hari, 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 in great ecstasy. They called out the names of the Lord, and all the Vaishnava associates of the Lord present, including Nityananda, Haridas Thakur, Srivas Thakur, Gadadhar Pandit, Mukunda, Jagadananda, Murari, Vakesha, all Mahaprabhu was there with all the devotees. They all were so happy. And in accordance with the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatana, immediately touched the feet of all these Vaishnavas, who all became very happy and congratulated the two brothers for having received the mercy of the Lord. And then Sanatana Goswami, because they were not simpletons in any way. They were all government ministers. They knew politics and diplomacy too. So they made a suggestion. Sanatana Goswami made a suggestion. You've so kindly come here. And Nawab Hussain Shah has kindly, mercifully not putting his glance upon you at this point. But this man is a drunkard and a meat eater and a woman hunter, and his senses and mind are therefore out of control. So we don't know what he's going to do next, in fact. So I think if your lordship, who is very completely independent, desires, it may be good for you to see other parts of Bengal. then Sanatana Goswami also said that he gave him some suggestion. He said, there are so many people with you now, so many wonderful devotees, so many people, but you're going to Vrindavan. It's not good to go to Vrindavan with a big entourage, because Vrindavan is a very, very deep place. Better to go just alone. But if I go alone, I'll be lonely. Well, that's good. Because if you're lonely, then maybe Krishna will. And you want something. If you're fully satisfied and entangled with the big entourage, then there will be no longing in the heart. And if there's no longing, if we're materially satisfied in any way in Vrindavan or not in Vrindavan, if we're satisfied and involved in so many things, and Krishna said, well, Krishna will say, there's no need for any mercy over here. So that was the first meeting of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then later on, right after this, practically speaking, both Rupa and Sanatan left the government service. Rupa left immediately with Anupam. Sanatan had difficulty. He was thrown in jail. And Rupa Goswami sent him money to bribe the jailkeeper to get out. Rupa Goswami had met the Lord in current Allahabad, Prayag, and then Rupa Goswami got the instruction to go to Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami met the Lord, and Mahaprabhu told him to go to Vrindavan. Meanwhile, Rupa Goswami came back to find where Sanatana was. He went to Jagannath Puri. He missed Sanatana there, and the different activities go on. But Rupa Goswami was given, and Sanatana was given, were given wonderful instructions by Mahaprabhu to rediscover Vrindavan and to publish transcendental books. So Rupa Goswami, one can't speak about Rupa Goswami without mentioning the wonderful books that he wrote. Who knows one of them, the name of one? I'm hearing something somewhere. Nectar Devotion in the Sanskrit. Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. The ocean of Bhakti Rasa Amrita. The nectarian ocean of devotion. Which describes the process, the practical book of Bhakti Rasa. What other book? Thank you. Something from over this side here. Excuse me? Vidagdha Madhava, which is the story of pastime of Krishna in Vrindavan, and the accompanying book, a drama, this is a natak, a drama, and Lalita Madhava, Krishna in Dwarka. Both books are filled with so much separation from Krishna. They're not books, they're dramas, plays. And they're filled with the mood of separation from Krishna and Krishna's separation from Vrindavan. Incredible, incredibly touching books. There's one little, I'd like to mention that when Rupa Goswami, he had a copy, when he completed, I think it was Lalita Madhava. And it's very, very, very touching. That's Krishna in Dwarka. It's about the separation that Krishna's feeling while he's in Dwarka from Vrindavan. So he gave that book to edit to Raghunath Das Goswami Raghunath Das Goswami was staying at Radhakund. And Raghunath Das Goswami was very he was serving Mahaprabhu in under Srup Damodar Goswami in Jagannath Puri. He personally served them, serving Srup Damodar Mahaprabhu, who was serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then when Mahaprabhu disappeared from this world, and then very quickly after that, Srup Damodar disappeared, and Raghunath Das's whole life was empty. It was full of ecstasy. And he witnessed day by day all the pastimes between Mahaprabhu and Srup Damodar. And then they both left. And what did he have? So he didn't want, he had no desire to be in this world. So he decided to go to Vrindavan and take his life. First, offer his obeisances to the feet of Rupa and Sanatana, and then end his life. So when he came to Vrindavan, he met Rupa and Sanatana, and they would not let him go, because he was carrying all this, all these experiences of Mahaprabhu. He had seen them day by day. And every day, for 3 hours every day, Raghunath Das Goswami would talk Mahaprabhu Kitha, just talk about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and what he had seen and the glories of Mahaprabhu, 3 hours every day. So Raghunath Das Goswami was accepted as the younger brother, because Rupa Sanatana's younger brother Anupam had left this world, so they accepted, they adopted him in the mood, Das Goswami, as their younger brother. And he was such an, and he always thought of himself as the servant of Srila Rupa Goswami. He served through Rupa Goswami, which parallels their relationship in Goloka Vrindavan, because he is a Rati Manjari serving under Srila Rupa Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami also would offer his day with 3 hours Mahaprabhu Kitha. Then he would pay thousands of obeisances every day to all the Vaishnavas, to all the holy places. He would pay obeisances. He practically wouldn't eat anything, especially after Sanatan left and then Rupa left, and then he was alone again. He gave up eating, sleeping. He would just sit at Radhakund and cry in separation from these great personalities and from Mahaprabhu and from Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So Rupa Goswami gave him Lalita Madhava to edit, just after he had written it, and he read it, and he just would cry and cry and cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. And Rupa Goswami didn't know what to do. He tried to take the book back, and Raghunath Das Goswami would just, he wouldn't relinquish it. So Rupa Goswami then wrote another book that was in a light and happy mood, not in a separation mood, called Dana Keli Kamudi. I think that's the name of it, which talks about the pastimes, a specific type of pastime in Radha and Krishna, and Dangati in by Govardhan, were the taxing pastimes by Dandavartana Kund. These places are so wonderful. They have, even though these pastimes happened thousands of years ago and the Goswamis were there 500 years ago, there's such a coating of the sweetness of the spiritual world in Vrindavan. And all, so one wants to get maybe a little speck of that Vrindavan dust to enter one's heart, and then one's whole life is successful. So he wrote the second book Rupa Goswami did, Dan Keli Kamudi, and then, which was a happy book, because it's very happy, jolly pastimes. And then Raghunath Das stopped crying and started laughing, and he relinquished the other book. And then Raghunath Das Goswami liked that book so much that he wrote a companion volume of it describing the same pastime, Dan Keli Chintamani. So the dealings between these devotees, they're just very, very, very sweet, very sweet, sometimes strict, but very, very, very sweet. All focused on pleasing Sisi Radha Krishna, Sisi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What other book did he write? Bhakti Samhita, Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava. Yes, which is the upper part of Bhakti Samhita Sindhu, describing in detail the dealing all the associates of Radha and Krishna in Madhurya Rasa. Yes, Upadeshamrita, the instructions how to progress in spiritual life. Jiva Goswami, Gopal Champam. Huh? Lagu Bhagavatamrita, philosophical book dealing with the philosophy of Mahaprabhu and the different very, very hair-splitting philosophical explanations of different points in the Gaudiya philosophy, Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. So in this way, Rupa Goswami, he also wrote other books, Uddhava Sandesh. He also found what deity, because in part of Mahaprabhu's order to excavate or rediscover the lost places in Vrindavan, it was also to find the lost deities of Vrindavan that the great-grandson of Krishna, Vrindavan, had established. Because when all the members of the Yadu dynasty perished when Dwarka got engulfed in the sea, Vrindavan had left with Arjuna and come to Mathura, and he was made the king of the Mathura area. And what he did was he had deities carved of Krishna, because Uttara was the only person left on the planet at that time who had seen Krishna. She was the only one on the planet who had actually physically seen the form of Krishna. So based on her guidance, different deities were carved. And that was part of his, Rupa Goswami's assignment, to find these deities and reinstall them. So Brajanab, and also Brajanab had also he went all over Vrindavan and he found the places that Krishna had his pastimes. And he named villages after those pastimes, and so therefore there's many villages in Vrindavan to this day still named after the different pastimes, so we can tell where Krishna had his different pastimes. So these things were mostly forgotten, and they were and as time goes on, the village names had changed. You know, just made something similar to what it was, but not the exact name, so they had to re-find everything. So there was one pastime how Rupa Goswami, I'll just read it from this little biography here, how he found the Govindadev deity. So one day, Rupa Goswami was sitting by the bank of the Jamuna River, and he was lamenting that they hadn't been able to carry out the instructions of Mahaprabhu in rediscovering all the places and finding the deities. So he was there, just lamenting that he couldn't follow Mahaprabhu's instruction. He had tried to locate all the deities. He had gone to every house in Vrindavan to see if any of the villages had the deities of Govinda, Gopinath, and Madan Mohan, but he couldn't find the deities anywhere. So as he was sitting on the bank of the Yamuna, a beautiful cowherd boy came along and said, "O Goswami, why do you look so sad in this village of Vrindavan? No one is supposed to be sad. Why are you feeling sad?" So hearing the boy's cheerful voice, Sri Rupa, his mood, his sad mood broke. And he said, "I feel sad. My sadness is caused by not being able to follow Mahaprabhu's instructions properly. Oh Goswami, you just come with me. I've seen something that is very interesting. And if you see it, I think it may be helpful for you." Then the boy brought him to a place called Gomatatil, which is just by the current temple of Govindadev. And he said, "Every day, a cow," tila means a hill, "so every day, a very beautiful cow comes on top of this hill and pours down milk onto like a hole in the milk and then goes away. So if you look here underneath in that area very carefully, maybe you'll find what you're looking for." And then Rupa Goswami, the boy started walking away. Rupa Goswami turned around, looked back, and the boy was gone. And we may be able to understand who that little boy was. So, in his ecstasy after having the association of Krishna, he went back to his kuti, the little cottage he was living, and the next morning he went to Gomatatila, and he began to just sit there and chant and wait and wait and wait. And after a little while, a beautiful Surabhi cow came and began pouring milk on top of the hill, and that milk disappeared inside the earth. And then the cow just walked into the forest, because in those days Vrindavan just was a forest. Now Rupa Goswami knew from this who was underneath that hill. It was Sri Govinda. So he came very quickly. He gathered some cowherd men, and he told them everything that had happened. And they began very carefully. They picked up some shovels and they ran to Gomatatil, and they removed a small amount of earth, and there they saw the enchanting form of Sri Govinda. Now raise your hand if you've ever seen Sri Govinda in Jaipur. Even you've seen. Yes? Wonderful? You've seen the devotees in Jaipur worshipping Govinda Dev? What do you think of that worship? And what is their mood?
They're completely sold out.
It's incredible. It's incredible, their mood. It is just like the Vrijbrasis dealing with beloved Krishna. It's so heartfelt. There's so much heart and love in it. It's incredible. And they sing songs about Krishna's pastimes. Oh, so wonderful. This is Rupa Goswami's deity. And everyone in Jaipur loves Govinda Dev. They're all devotees of Govinda Dev. Who else has seen? You haven't seen Govinda Dev? That's where Guru Maharaj took sannyas. Wants to go. I'm also telling you, suggesting gently, you should go and see Govinda Dev. Raise your hand if you've taken Govinda Dev Mahaprasadam. Oh, it's out of this world. Let's go. So they built a temple, etc. like that. Mahaprabhu was informed, they wrote him a letter, and he was very happy. And then he sent one devotee, Kashiswar, his own servant, who was a servant of Ishwara Puri, to go and assist Rupa Goswami. Oh, there's no time to read more. There's wonderful, in the beginning, the first chapter in Antilila Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a wonderful description of how when Rupa Goswami came to Vrindavan, to Jagannath Puri, he stayed with Thakur Haridas, and Mahaprabhu gave him so much mercy, and Mahaprabhu had him read different portions of his dramas that are so sweet, so sweet, in front of all the devotees, and especially Ramananda Roy, who gave his judgment. Goswami is such an he understood clearly the mind of Mahaprabhu, and Srup Damodar, he understood Mahaprabhu's actions at Rathiyatra. No one else could understand except Srup Damodar and Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami composed a verse beginning Soham, Soyam, and describing the actual meaning of Rathiyatra and through Mahaprabhu's mood. And when Mahaprabhu saw that verse, he was so taken by it. He said to Srup Damodar, "How has Rupa Goswami understood my mood in this way? No one else can understand it but you." And Srup Damodar Goswami replied, "It must be that you've given him your mercy. Otherwise, no one can understand." Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.